Hello and welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selina Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
So welcome to this week's Project Love Real Love Story. And this week I'm here with Jen. And we're going to talk a bit about her real love story with Felix. So to kick things off, I'd love to hear the story of how you and Felix met.
The first time we met,
yeah.
God, okay, it was a long time ago, way before we got together. I met him at a club night, was with some of the girls, and I think I'd actually met him before, but I don't remember. I think he was playing at Bad Passion or something, and I don't remember meeting him, but he came up to me and she's like, "Jennifer, I know you," and I was like, "Who is this guy?" and then that was kind of it, really. His best friend became one of my really good friends, and kind of became part of our group, but yeah, our first meeting was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Nothing really came with it until a few years later.
Yeah, and then how did things develop after that? Did he ask you out on a date?
No, God, no. I was in a relationship, so he kept well away, which is really sweet, actually. He'd always had a soft spot for me, but he didn't want to be in the friend zone. He was just like, I just need to stay away, just so I have a chance, maybe one day. And I didn't know any of this. And then when I was a single lady again, there's a lot of kind of affirmations about Felix. I kept hearing a lot of things about him, and all roads and lights and everything kept pointing to him. And I was like, oh, this is weird. What's going on? So yeah, it was kind of intense at first. I knew he liked me. I was kind of in a bit of a weird place. I had a lot of my friends telling me to just go for it. And when I realised I did like him, he was about to go away for about 6 weeks, 2 months. To America, and I was kind of a bit like, oh God, what do I do? And then I remember he gave me a CD of some music that he was later going to release, and there was a song on there, and I remember just texting him and asking him about the song. And from that, we just started this massive text chain from him being abroad and 2 hour long Skype chats and just chatting all the time, and it being a really intense thing when we hadn't even kissed yet. So it was like, okay, this is really weird. I think I really want to be with this guy. Mm. And then when he came back, we just started going out immediately. The rest is history, really.
And that was the song on your wedding, wasn't
it? First dance, yeah.
Amazing. And how did you know that this relationship was different to anything that you'd experienced before?
God, you know, it's so weird. I mean, first I just had a feeling. I just had a really good feeling about this one. When I finally got my head around the fact that I wanted to be with him, like this was it, I was like, it just felt different, like, connected on a different level, was able to talk to him about anything and just be really myself with him. And I think the same for him as well. It just felt really easy and effortless. Like, just being able to chat to him all night about stuff and just making each other giggle just felt really real.
Yeah. And when you look back at how you were in previous relationships to how you are now, what would you say is the biggest difference in your approach to relationships?
Oh, God. Just finding someone that just likes you for who you are and celebrates those points and just really just wants you to be you and loves the fact that you're you, which is something that I really love about Felix. Just kind of weird. I mean, you're always yourself, but just finding someone that's just really just loves that about you and just kind of wants you to be better and pushes you to do good things and makes you want to be better. So it's kind of a big self-improvement thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the encouragement.
Totally.
I think it's a two-way thing. It's infectious, isn't it, when someone makes you feel like that and then you want to help them to grow as well.
Just want to be better, make them better, and you just see your future being very bright and rosy, and you're just like, right, come on, let's go for it.
And I think friends see that in the two of you as well. Aww. That you're great together, and you give off this energy where other people want to be a part of this love that you're giving off. And is this how you imagined married life to be like? Did you ever have a vision when you were younger of how you wanted?
It's really weird. I never really had the bride gene when I was younger. I kind of always thought I would get married because I'm quite traditional in certain ways. So I kind of thought I would, but I mean, it's better than what I have expected it to be. I mean, it's not like party all the time. I mean, obviously we've had our challenges and all that kind of stuff, but it's just the strength that marriage gives you in a relationship. It's just blown me away. completely.
Mm. And what's that like, that strength? Like, where does that come from? Can you describe it?
I guess it's just knowing that when you're with someone that you love so much and you know it's the one, it's kind of like a real unity and it's a real kind of teamwork thing. So you can challenge yourself and take risks and do things and know that they've got your back no matter what. So they can always catch you when you fall, like they're there, they're completely there for you no matter what. And I think that's something that I feel really blessed with every day.
Mm.
Just having that is pretty special.
Yeah. It's like having that stability to totally. Then go and explore your passions.
Exactly.
And has anything surprised you along the way?
God, yeah. I mean, it's just constant surprises with that one. It's a colourful character. Yeah, the first year of marriage is a bit of a funny one because we obviously spent a lot of time going away and travelling and having our adventures and stuff. So you really kind of see each other's strengths in moments where you don't expect to see them. So you really kind of go on a bit of a journey that first year. But yeah, I mean, I've kind of, there's nowhere to hide really with Felix. I know everything about him pretty much. And I think the same for him with me. So I think, yeah, I don't know about surprises.
Mm.
I'm surprised at how good it is and how happy I am. That's a bonus.
Yeah.
Thank God.
And looking back at the person you were before you met Felix, what advice or words of wisdom would you give to the person you were then?
Maybe just be yourself more and just kind of let things go, not hold on to things so much. Yeah, I mean, definitely just never hold back with love, just always love full and wholeheartedly. And sometimes I think in relationships, it's quite easy to get resentful. And I've had relationships in the past, like in my 20s especially, where they can get quite competitive and, you know, you stop being happy for that other person with certain things, which is quite weird in a relationship, but it does happen. And it's quite sad because you're kind of sweating the small things and life just passes by and that's it. Mm. Like, you don't get that time back. So I definitely say, yeah, just love wholeheartedly, be yourself, be happy. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I found that in my experience as well. Like, things get to you more when you're... when you've been in relationships when you're younger, in your 20s. But why is that?
I don't know, it's so weird. Like, you just hold on to things and just like... I mean, I used to hold on to grudges so much. And I think that's something I've learned with Felix. It's just kind of let go and not sweat the small things and just kind of go with it, really. Because it's just a waste of time in the big picture.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is once you see a bigger picture with someone where it's like, you know, you're in it for the long haul.
Exactly.
You start to realise...
there's no point in arguing.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think that's a real skill, being able to let things go like that.
Yeah, and that's something that I've really had to learn. Because I'm quite moody growing up and I can hold grudges and it's not good to hold on to that because it's only you that's unhappy at the end of it.
Mm.
So just kind of letting go of those sort of bad feelings and just accepting. And that's another thing, just kind of accepting each other for who you are, not trying to change or be resentful because that's kind of who you fell in love with. So
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
There's a famous quote, I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's something about anger is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die.
Yeah, right.
And it's, I think, you know, when you do want to hang on to things, you think it's actually they're going to be punished for it, but actually they're fine. It's like, you know, it's punishing yourself.
Spare yourself.
The next question is a bit of a philosophical one. So one of the key lessons that we've learned at Project Love is that there's an art of loving. And it requires knowledge and effort, and that we can actually hone this skill and increase our capacity to love. If love is a skill and it can be taught and developed, then we learn through teachers in our life, whether that be parents or friends or other relationships that we've seen, or it could be through our relationships we've actually just learned about ourselves and how we are in relationships. Have there been anyone that has taught you or represented a healthy model of relationships that you've used?
I guess my mum and dad, really. They're still together, still going strong. My dad was always amazing with advice for me. He's a little girl, and he used to hate seeing me cry if I had my heart broken. And, you know, he used to just say, just kind of pull yourself together. Like, why do you want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you? And that was always something that really stuck to me. And I was like, you know, him teaching me kind of self-love and self-respect and self-confidence was something that been intrinsic in me and growing up, and how I see relationships and kind of knowing what you're worth is actually really important, because you kind of forget if you've been single for a long time. You're like, oh, I don't know who I want to be with. And, you know, women are adaptable by nature anyway, but you shouldn't settle. And knowing what you're worth is really important. And kind of those words have always stuck with me. So, yeah, I mean, they're pretty solid and they're still together and they're just, they're brilliant. So I kind of, I look to them as like my beacon of a really happy relationship.
I think that's really good advice as well. Like, why would you be upset about somebody if they
didn't? And I remember when he said it, I was like, Dad, you're supposed to be like really nice. I was like, I don't want to see you cry. Why are you crying over some loser that doesn't want to be with you? And I was like, oh my God. But I was like, wow, that is so, that's like the male opinion and my dad's opinion and not wanting to see me hurt was really kind of stuck with me. It's just like, like, come on, he's not worth your tears.
Yeah, it's good advice. Yeah. I think one of the biggest fears that I find when coaching is that women, I mean, we all like have this fear of rejection in many ways, but I think when you're dating, it can be really difficult to deal with. And actually, when you get through the fear of rejection and see, and if they didn't want to be with you, then it's not going to work, because ultimately it's about what you want, and if you want to be with them, and if they don't want to be with you, then the maths are kind of against. It's not going to work.
Yeah, that's true.
And when you say your parents helped you with knowing your self-worth, do you feel like that was kind of present throughout your life growing up? So you kind of always had that kind of intrinsic self-value?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, as you grow older, you kind of learn that more and more, and you know, in relationships, whether they were good or bad ones, you kind of just know when to stop taking crap from your other half or all that kind of thing. And knowing how long to grieve over a breakup is like, okay, now come on.
Yeah.
Time to pull yourself together. And just knowing what you're worth and never settling, really. I think it's really important to have that kind of love for yourself, not in a kind of pompous way, but just that self-respect. Because if you know, you're not going to feel that for yourself, it's quite hard to rely on someone else to do that for you.
Definitely, because if someone can give it to you, they can also take it away. And what do you think are the key ingredients of a healthy and happy relationship?
Key ingredients, definitely communication, 100%. I guess that kind of goes back to one of your questions you asked before, is the difference with this and other relationships is we communicate really well and we're both quite confrontational with each other. Like, we won't take any shit with each other, so it's kind of like, yeah, we kind of check in with each other all the time, and it could be quite hard on each other, and it's great because I need it, and I'm quite, you know, defensive, but I need, you know, it's a challenge. And the same with Felix, that like we really put each other up on stuff and just constantly just being like, how are you doing? Are you happy? Are you good? Like, just making sure we have quality time for ourselves. And we spend a lot of time together, but just the quality time is really important. Really important. We always make sure we try and have a date night once a week, or just spend some time just the two of us, where we're not on our laptops or anything like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really important to kind of have that time, one-on-one check-in time, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, because when you live together, you can spend every day together.
Easy,
but it's about the quality time where you're disconnected from technology and all that.
And talk about life.
I think it's really difficult, because I hear, like, communication is can almost make or break a relationship, but it's so difficult to get into a good flow of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's great that you've got in this rhythm of, like, checking in with each other, and, you know.
Yeah, you have to, I think. And I'm kind of used to it now. So it's just, you know, if we're having a bad day or whatever, we know it's just going to pass. But she's like, I'm not happy. It's just about nothing, really. It's usually something that I'm annoyed about, and I'll just take it out on him. And, you know, you bicker, and then it's over, and then it's it.
That's it, and then you can move on.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, the little niggles, you go, oh, fuck it, you know, I'm not going to mention it. And then the next day, a little niggle. And then a week later, you're suddenly in a mood, and, I mean, I'm speaking of Mike. And then you think, I don't even know why I'm so pissed off, but I just am.
Well,
but
I'm really angry about something that you did a year ago.
Yeah.
Holding on for so long.
Exactly. And anything else? So communication.
Just really just allowing that person to be them.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of relationships where there's a bit of an imbalance, and I think that's something that I kind of feel from when we started going out with each other. It was just kind of a total balance in who we are, what we wanted, and just sort of, you know, we've changed quite a bit over the last few years since we've been together, and just kind of allowing each other to have that change and still being there is really important.
I think the fact that you two have had all your adventures together, yeah. like and adventures were a big part of your wedding and yeah. the vows that you said to each other. And obviously we used to work together, and seeing how many changes have yeah, happened in your life from, you know, going off travelling, having that big adventure yeah. and deciding to leave work and doing your own thing, and then, you know, deciding yeah. to move away and rent your flat. Like, all those decisions aren't yeah. easy, but you've made them together
yeah.
and, you know, planning this future and kind of setting the scene for, you know, what yeah. could be, you know, the start of a family and all that. It's exciting, stuff.
It's really exciting. And I remember a really good friend of mine, Sophie, who's done something similar with her hotel in India. She said to me, you know, it's really important to make big decisions because you don't know when they'll happen and you're not prepared for it. It's important for you, and it's testing, and, you know, whatever happens, you can always go back. You know, if we move away, it's never going to be the end of the world if it doesn't work out. It's kind of like you're on that journey together.
Mm.
And you really see each other's strengths. And I know I mentioned it before, but I remember the first time we went away and being in India and just kind of somehow getting lost from where we were supposed to be and just being really freaked because we're like, there's no road signs. I've got no, like, you can't phone anyone. No one speaks English. Like, this is, we're in a bit of a pickle here and it's getting dark. And, you know, normally in a situation like that with me, we could have just ended up having a massive row and just getting really just on top. But situations like that really kind of come together, and like, that's kind of the unity and the teamwork that I really value in our relationship, which is like, wow, that was amazing. We could have really lost it there, but we were just like, okay, right, we just got to deal with this situation. And just, yeah. So things like that, like, especially going away, can see the other person, who they really are.
Yeah.
It's important, yeah.
Yeah, having that really solid foundation of really good friendship, like the kind of friend that you just, like, love hanging out with and want to spend all your time with.
Definitely.
Okay, my last question is, what advice would you give to single women today who are looking for a healthy and happy relationship?
Advice. I mean, it's, I know it's been said before and it's an obvious one, but being happy. Knowing yourself. And I'm very much from the school of thought where I don't believe that two halves make a whole, because, you know, the halves can be different sizes, and, you know, if you try and find someone to fix, or you want them to fix you, then there's that imbalance straight away, and that just leads to problems and resentment in the future. So it's kind of like figuring out what you want and knowing that you can't rely on someone else to make you happy, I think, is really important. Definitely. Figuring that out. And, you know, love's great, but being on your own is great too, and, you know, feeling happy and knowing yourself is really attractive. So, you know, you're putting out those good vibes, you get them back. So that's kind of what I believe. I think you get back what you put in, you know, all that kind of stuff. So just feeling confident and happy and making sure you know how to make yourself happy is really important.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. Because, you know, rom-coms like Jerry Maguire, where she's like, or I think it's Tom Cruise that says it, like, you complete
me. I know. And she's like, oh, God.
But we grew up with this bollocks.
Yeah.
And we think, God, right, that's what I need. Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not going to be complete until I find a man. And it's so refreshing to hear that, you know, you need to be happy in yourself, because it's like building this, well, I was talking with a client the other day about this. It's like you've got this pyramid of, like, all the good stuff and, like, laid the foundations of everything that makes you feel alive and happy.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you've got the little flag on top, which is like a relationship where you both bounce with each other and, you know, it's a bonus.
I think a lot of girls kind of want someone that, not rescue them, I mean, that's kind of a bit Hollywood, but I think everyone wants someone to kind of be a bit of a rock for them. But I remember the best advice I ever got was from one of my best friends, who was like, you know, you're your own anchor. So it's, you know, if don't rely on someone else to be that support, like, give yourself some credit. You've got the strength, you know how to make yourself happy, you can pull yourself out of sticky situations. And that's something that I've kind of had in my head a lot, and I was like, actually, yeah, good point.
Yeah.
So when you feel that, when you know that, and you feel confident knowing that if a relationship doesn't work out, you'll be fine, then I think possibilities can happen.
And it helps you relax about the whole thing.
Because you know you can deal with it.
Yeah. Well, that wraps up this week's Real Love Story with Jen. Thank you, Jen. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast show. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're feeling stuck in your love life and finding dating to be frustrating and exhausting, then come and join Get Ready for Love, our 30-day online course to transform your love life.
As well as having us, Selena and Vicky, as your co-pilots throughout your journey, bringing you a lesson every day and videos and audio tutorials bursting with energy and love, you'll also be welcomed into our private Facebook group, The Love Zone, where you can hang out with like-minded women and ask for help and guidance whenever you need it.
It really is gorgeous in there. Head over to loveprojectlove.com/get-ready-for-love to sign up.
And if you'd like to find out more about love coaching with me, Vicky, then head to Coaching and Courses over on loveprojectlove.com.